We have wars, rumors of wars, worldwide lawlessness, pestilences all around the world, and natural disasters as well. And now news that the third temple in Jerusalem could be built within a year? We'll talk about all of this tonight in this week's edition of the Rapture Alert for Tuesday, October the 4th, 2022, where breaking news and Bible prophecy collide.
Welcome to The Last Christian Radio Show with your hosts, Brother J.D. Williams and Brother T.L. Farley. It's now time to grab your Bible as prophecy brings into focus the events playing out on the world stage at incredible speed, right before our very eyes, and exactly as was foretold.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, and as always, I'm joined there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley, who doesn't look like a hip-hopper today. He's back to normal. How are you doing today, Terry?
Normal as I can get, which ain't. I'm saved and on my way to heaven, and all the rest of this stuff is just loose change.
There you go. Okay. Well, let me tell you this, Terry. As usual, we have a packed show. We're going to be talking a lot about Iran tonight, Russia. We also have some breaking news out of Israel, where I teased it in the open, but we could possibly be 1 year away from the first sacrifice leading to the construction of the third temple, which we know, of course, is going to be where the Antichrist will declare himself to be God at the 3.5 year mark. Now, all of this stuff we're going to talk about tonight in great detail. And, you know, there's so much going on. It comes so fast, Terry, that I start to put a show together immediately after we finish one. And then I have to change it like a dozen times because everything changes all the time.
Amen.
It is, amen. I mean, the Bible said it was going to be fast. The Bible said that things, once they got into motion, that it was going to happen quickly. And the Bible's not lying. Things are happening quickly, Mr. Farley. They're happening very, very quickly.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I think probably a good place to start here. I'm going to play a really quick clip. Now, this is concerning North Korea and the Ukraine. Before we even get started, I need to say this: our YouTube channel is really blowing up, and I'm not saying that to brag or anything like that. What I'm trying to get across to people is the fact that we can only get the message of the Lord out if we can actually reach people. So I'm going to once again ask that everybody that is going to YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. It really does help us. The more comments that we get, that helps. The more likes that we get, that helps. And again, this isn't for us, but this is to share the message of Jesus Christ with the world. And, you know, we have grown, I don't know, 10 times, 20 times just in the last month or so. So I thank you, and please keep it up. Now then, having said that,
let me jump in real quick,
yeah,
just
go
30
right ahead.
Seconds.
Go right ahead.
People, once you're listening and you're getting this stuff, we want to encourage you to be out there witnessing.
Right.
Listen, we don't have a corner on the market.
Right.
Please get out there and tell people about Jesus while we have time.
No, that's great, because you know, one of the things is people find it hard to testify, and they find it very difficult to speak about it. You're afraid you might offend somebody, you might lose a friend. I don't care personally. You know, if people don't want to hear about Christ, then they better not be around me. But you know, one easy way to testify is simply share the video with your friends. That's all you got to do.
Amen.
That is really all you got to do. So again, please do subscribe if you can. Okay, Now, again, I want to start this off tonight with North Korea and the Ukraine. And so let's take a look at this one. Okay, here we go.
Dan Hoffman is a Fox News contributor and former station chief who served in Moscow. Dan, why did North Korea fire this missile and why now?
Well, North Korea has fired 31 of these missile tests this year after only 7 last year. And it's just part of Kim Jong-un's strategy of nuclear extortion. His economy has tanked, especially after COVID and awful weather, which ruined whatever harvest they might have had last year and the year before. And so he's preparing potentially for some negotiations and looking for some sanctions relief. I think that's one reason. The other reason, I think he's got to demonstrate to his own people that his country is constantly on war footing. He's got to blame South Korea and Japan and the United States for everything that's wrong with his country, even though we know that it's his dictatorial regime, which is the cause of his people's hardship.
Dan, there's also a lot going on with the war in Ukraine. And last week, Vladimir Putin annexed 4 regions in Ukraine, and no one outside of him and maybe some of his allies are actually really believing that that's Russian territory. And proof of that is yesterday, Ukrainian forces made significant advances in 2 of those annexed territories, Luhansk and Kherson. So everything that we're hearing right now is good for Ukraine and bad for Russia. Is that really the situation on the ground? And what happens next?
Well, Ukraine has been mounting a blistering counteroffensive through Kharkiv and now on their way to Donetsk and Luhansk. They recaptured Lyman, a key logistical hub. It's the gateway into Donbass. But as Ukraine's victories mount in retaking the territory that is theirs, Vladimir Putin's regime security grows ever more desperate. And that's why we're seeing Putin mobilizing his forces, 300,000 of them for the first time since the Second World War, why he's threatening the world with the use of nuclear weapons, a first use of nuclear weapons. I watched his speech on Friday, and he called, you know, the U.S. use of nuclear weapons during the Second World War a precedent. That's got to be a grave concern. And then, of course, as you mentioned, annexing territory, which is not his. It's Ukrainian territory. You know, Russia has rained down hell on Ukraine's civilians, destroyed maternity wards and hospitals and schools. Ukraine is going to take this fight to the finish. And this is going to require some significant work on the part of the Biden administration to avoid further catastrophe.
Two-parter here. How should the Biden White House respond? But first and foremost, how realistic is this fear of nuclear weapons? I've heard from many people varying opinions. Want to know what you think, Dan?
Well, you know, the Ukrainian forces are not coalesced in such a way that those tactical nuclear weapons, and Russia's got about 2,000 of them, would cause a major change on the battlefield. They would blow back, literally, and cause great harm to Russian territory, Russian civilians. And this is a key requirement for the intelligence community. It's not just as simple as Vladimir Putin choosing to launch these nuclear weapons. There's a command and control issue here. His own people and his Ministry of Defense have got to sign off on that, and I'm not 100% sure that they would. This is, I think at this point, a threat from Vladimir Putin. We're seeing threats from his deputy secretary, national security advisor Medvedev, who served as president, as well as the Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov. Putin is trying to do what Kim Jong-un does, which is extort us, nuclear blackmail. And the Biden administration needs to stand strong and not let it happen.
Okay. Now, Terry, I disagree again with these people. Where'd you go? Why did you sneak away? Don't do that. Okay.
I had to get a limit.
Okay. All right. Now look.
I won't do that again.
Okay. Now look, I disagree with this guy. Okay. Because, you know, he says that the Russian parliament or whatever they call themselves over there has to agree with Putin. Well, let me tell you this. Putin is the boss. Okay. And if he tells them we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. And so I think that all these security people in the United States and, you know, all these so-called experts, I think that they're all, I think they're all wrong. You know, I really do. I think that, that Putin is going to do what Putin is going to do. And I went on record in our last show and I said that he's going to use tactical nukes. I'm standing by that. I still believe that he is going to use tactical nuclear weapons. Has your opinion changed on it, or do you have an opinion?
Well, at this point, what I'm looking at is these people are pretty much dancing on their toes. What they're doing is they know less than we do because they're so close to it. They don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. And so they're trying to have all the options on the table so that they can take the direction that they think it, because that's where we've gotten to. It's all moment to moment and minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day. It's just keeping track. I have to lean towards your assessment in terms of what's going to eventually result, sadly. No. But, you know, again, I think this is where they are. I think, and that's why I emphasize that the hook in the jaw with Ezekiel.
Even though
everybody looks like they're running things, God's the one that's going to take control. But anyway.
Yeah, well, we agree on that 100%, and we'll get into more of Ezekiel 38 in the show today. But, you know, I think that people are looking at this in kind of the way things used to be and trying to apply what used to be to now. And what used to be was we had a president, and I'm not just going to Donald Trump here. I'm going to any president before him, maybe with the exception of Barack Obama. Maybe, and he may have even been involved in this too, I don't know. But I think that Russia pays attention to what the United States president has to say, and that they pay attention to what the United States president is likely to do. Now, in the past, if they were threatening tactical nuclear war, we would have a very strong statement coming out of Washington saying, you better not do that. Remember back to the Kennedy administration and when Cuba had missiles and we did the blockade and we went right up to, and they said, okay, you know, if you want to do this, you know, if you want to do this, well, you know, get ready because we will participate in that. Now we have a president that I don't believe is capable of pulling anything off. I don't think that he would do a thing. I believe Joe Biden is a 100% coward. 100%. I don't think he has any intention of doing anything on the world stage. I think he wants America off the world stage. And, you know, that's just my opinion now, but I am permitted that opinion. I don't think Biden will do a thing if they use nukes. And I do believe that they will use nukes. Any
I want to jump
that?
In on this absolutely. I don't think Biden is doing anything except signing papers and trying to get back home for the weekend.
Right.
You know, there's a committee, and here's the problem. There's a committee over him running things, making the decisions. And if something serious happens, they're going to have a committee meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. We're
in a difficult situation.
Yeah, and you know, again, I think that they're all, I think they're all afraid. I don't think anybody wants to make any kind of move. Getting back to this, I want to bring in Amir Tesfarty because he had a comment, and I played the first half of this last term, but I want you to listen to the second half because it's even more detailed. Listen to this one.
Those that are holding religious values, he knows that. He understands that. He says, look, we, Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and Christianity and Judaism, we all share the same, you know, values of family and mother and father. And we all share the same thing about, you know, value of life and all that. He's talking about value of life while he's butchering hundreds of people every day. So I need you to understand that the enemy is very, very smart, okay? The enemy is speaking through someone whom God says, I'm against you. So don't fall into that trap of thinking that there's the good guys and the bad guys here. No. Somebody woke up one day and decided that it's his time to invade into a sovereign country and to annex 20% of its territory to himself overnight. That's what really happened. Now, There's much more that I could share with you, but I don't want to make this update too long. But I do want you to know, nuclear war has never been so close than now. He puts it on the table, Putin. He said, look, don't lecture to me. America used it first. America sets the precedent. I can do it, and I will use all the means within my disposal to push forward the battle for a new world order. Very interesting days are ahead of us. And I want you to know that the Bible is very clear about against whom God is here. But I also want you to know, folks, that the only way you can understand world events today is if you go back to the scriptures. And I will conclude with this. You know, I wrote today a short commentary, and I would like to read, and it's also on Telegram. I would like to read that to you. For the Antichrist to rise, Europe and the Middle East must go through a terrible war, because he's the one who brings peace. I believe that also America and China and others will go through a terrible financial downfall that will render them powerless, which is at the horizon. Everybody agree. And then thus, that's basically how the world will not only beg for him to rise, but worship him as well when he delivers them from a war and financial distress. I see that day approaching rapidly. And the answer isn't by buying gold or stacking food. The answer is turning to the one and only true deliverer that can give you, even in the midst of all of this craziness, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy of your salvation, and the security of your eternal life with him. And remember, folks, before the evil one will rise and get into power, the saints will be taken out of the way.
The saints will be taken out of the way. That's called the rapture.
Hallelujah.
Of the church.
Amen.
And that's something that we're also going to talk about quite a bit today. Now, the next thing that I have comes from the Watchman newscast. I think Eric Sekelbeck is becoming one of my favorites, because he's not afraid to be honest. There's a lot of people that have been scared off of YouTube. We're not. You know, we haven't been afraid. Again, I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. I'm free to express an opinion as a member of the free press, and we still have a free press in America, at least right now. There have been, I believe a federal judge recently ruled that these social media sites can't just indiscriminately go in there and take somebody down. And that's helped quite a bit. And, you know, all these clips I use with the permission of different agencies. For instance, Fox News, you just saw Amir, and now The Watchman. But I want you to listen to Eric today, because he's got some interesting comments on this as well. So let's take a listen to him real quick.
Iran has been training Russian soldiers in how to operate these Iranian-made drones. They've actually brought them to Iran, trained them there. And again, the drones are now being used. A few things to keep in mind here. Number one, it's not going very well. Reportedly, the Russians are not happy with the product that they've been given by the Iranians and the battlefield performance of these drones. Second thing to remember, Ukraine has reportedly shot down an increasing number of these so-called suicide drones. That's what they're called in the Israeli media, because what Iran does, and now Russia using these drones, the drones are packed with explosives. They are flown into an object on a kamikaze mission, of course, remotely controlled. I mentioned Iraq, and Iran has passed off these drones to its militias in Iraq for years now, but now Iran is lashing out in Iraqi Kurdistan, in particular in northern Iraq, that autonomous region controlled by the Kurds. Some 73 ballistic missiles fired by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps in recent days into Iraqi Kurdistan, targeting sites there, also artillery shelling, and yes, those notorious Iranian drones targeting sites in Iraqi Kurdistan. Now, the main reason for this is simple. The Iranian regime is trying to deflect attention from those ongoing protests that are rocking the regime. More on that in a minute. Now, the girl, 22-year-old woman who was killed, Mahsa Amini, remember, she was of Kurdish descent. So now Iran seems to be blaming Iraqi Kurdistan, I guess, for these protests that are, again, rocking the regime and have spread nationwide. So they're lashing out at the Kurds here. And drones, again, is one way they're doing it. Folks, Iran has shown off this drone hardware many times over the past year and a half, holding major drone drills and showcasing drones of all shapes and sizes and capabilities for the world. Again, they see themselves as a drone superpower.
Okay, so they see themselves as a drone superpower. And I now, personally, I have no idea. Can they put a nuclear weapon on a drone? I mean, I really don't know. Do you?
No, I don't know, but why would that be so hard to do?
Yeah, well, it would be.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it would be a weight issue, and I think. I mean, I'm.
Well,
I'm taking
they've
a
got
guess.
They've got they have tactical nuclear weapons. Tactical means it ain't as big and it don't need as much to get it there. That's right. What tactical means. It's like, you know, having a weapon, any kind of weapon that is easy to carry and quick to use, which we've got a whole bunch. There's an array of weapons available. I saw an entire, almost a full, I don't know if it was a brigade, but it was a huge number of tanks taken out, Russian tanks taken out by these rockets that America is sending over there. Yeah. And they were going across this big long bridge. I don't know if you saw the video, but you know, I'm looking at higher things, so I don't get that involved with details. But I can appreciate it like anybody else watching a movie and eating popcorn. I mean, they took one tank out after another, and they started with the back one and the front one, and then nobody could move, and they just took their time taking them out. And there had to be several dozen Russian tanks in this particular battle. This was a few weeks ago. Yeah. But anyway, that gives you an idea of the scope of what's going on there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. Russia, Iran, China, Turkey, and again, remember, Turkey is supposedly a NATO country, but all of a sudden, instead of opposing Russia, all of a sudden they're aligning themselves with Russia for the first time. And, you know, you've got all these other Islamic countries that absolutely hate Israel. The Russians, of course, are making no secret of the fact that they know, or they say they know, who did the damage to their pipeline, their gas pipeline that goes from Russia to mainland Europe, which is causing Europe all types of, I mean, these people are facing a winter not knowing if they're going to have any gas to power their electric, you know, get any kind of heat is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Here. You know, they're facing freezing to death. And now if Russia blew up their own stuff, that would really amaze me. I'm on the record on that. I don't think they did. And the more and more that I get into it, I'm wondering maybe if we did it. You know, and again, I'm not pointing a finger at America, not yet, because I don't know that for a fact. But it makes a heck of a lot more sense for us to do something like that than it does for Russia to blow up their own pipeline when they count so heavily on energy, oil, natural gas, and coal. That's what powers their economy. So it, you know, to me, it doesn't seem reasonable that that they would do that. And we know that Israel has more natural gas than they would ever need. They're selling it cheaper to the world than anybody else, but nobody wants to buy it because they don't want to buy it from Israel. So what Israel does is they take their natural gas and then they ship it to Egypt, and Egypt puts mm-hmm. their stamp on it, and Egypt sells it at a higher price, of course, than what they buy it from Israel, but still it's cheaper than Russian gas. We've got a tremendous amount of natural gas in the United States, but our brilliant president turned the power off. I mean, he shut it down. So now, in my opinion, what all this leads to is that Russia is going to, at some point or another, look at Israel and say, oh, okay, you got it. And that, in my opinion, is the hook in the jaw. I've said this for months. That's the hook in the jaw that brings Russia down toward Israel. And Putin is on record as saying that what's going on right now is not the end. It's only the beginning. Okay, well, that's a pretty strong hint. It's only the beginning of what, Terry? What is it only the beginning of?
Yeah. Well, he's laying out his plans,
right.
And but the moment of action is going to come from God,
right.
and if he has to squeeze them to where they absolutely have to go to Israel to get their power, they'll do it,
right.
And that, like you say, that very well could be the hook in the jaw.
Yeah, and that, I don't know. I just think that we're getting down here to the end, and in the second half of the show, we're going to even go into that more. So y'all really need to hang around for the second half of the Last Christian Radio Show.
Amen.
Amen. Here we go.
Yep. Zip, 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 zip.
Well, that music may use it for a few of you. We've come to the end of this edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. We do invite you to visit www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. If you would like to see the entire episode from tonight. And, of course, we do invite you back every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening, where, Lord willing, we will have another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. For those of you leaving us, good night and God bless. For the rest of you, we're going to be back in just about 2 minutes for the second half of the Last Christian Radio Show.
And while you're waiting for God to open that door, praise Him in the hallway. I read the Facebook posting on my timeline and smiled. I immediately remembered what the scriptures say in Revelation. The Church of Philadelphia was told that what Christ opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. In the process of tracking the course that the Lord lays before us, we often encounter doors of opportunity. Sometimes these doors are way open and all we need to do is walk on in. But sometimes we find ourselves in a large palatial hallway facing several closed doors. It's here that we need to wait for God to orchestrate our circumstances to fall in line with His plans before the right door will open. And while you're waiting for that door to open, praise Him in the hallway. God Dragging is praising God while you wait for Him to open that door. I'm Dudley Anderson. Why not email me, dudley@surereality.net. I would love to hear from you.
Here's the latest from the KRRB Newsroom.
This is the latest news headlines in 60 seconds with Alan Edwards.
President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden on Monday headed to Puerto Rico and will visit Florida Wednesday after hurricanes ravaged the two areas.
I want to thank the members of Congress and local officials, community leaders who have joined us today ever since the hurricane.
British Prime Minister Liz Truss was forced on Monday into a humiliating U-turn after less than a month in power.
I think in an inflationary environment, the last thing you want is more stimulus, and tax cuts are stimulus.
Russian President Vladimir Putin now faces an irreversible quagmire amid the country's land grab and its ongoing invasion of Ukraine. Libya's Missing Persons Authority announced the discovery of 42 bodies buried in a mass grave.
The 42 bodies had been exhumed from a school site in the city following a tip-off from an investigation conducted with captured Islamic State fighters.
That's the latest headlines in 60 seconds. I'm Alan Edwards.
We are back for the second half of the Last Christian Radio Show. Terry, I've got one thing that I will want to play for people before we really get back into our major discussion today. And that is tomorrow night on the Last Christian Radio Show, I am going to have a guest on. And you know, when we go to those breaks, you hear you hear brother Dudley Anderson. Now he is on Revelation Radio every Wednesday, and he provides me with a 30-minute show, and then he also has little shorter segments. He's got those little 1-minute clips like what I run there, and then he has a 4 to 6, and we run those all through the day, every day. But tomorrow night, I'm going to have him on for a full interview on the Last Christian Radio Show, and he's just an awesome guy. He really is. And I want you to, this is really quick, okay, but it's just a teaser for tomorrow night, and then I hope everybody will tune in tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, on Revelation Radio. You can go to www.revelationradio.net. You can go to your Alexa and just say, Alexa, enable KRRB Revelation Radio. You can find it at lastchristian.net. All those places, of course, all the podcast places, to grab the interview. But here's just a clip from an interview that, again, will take place tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, on, well, every platform you can think of. Here's Dudley.
The reality of Jesus. So I interview people from all walks of life and find out about the impact of Christ upon their lives, how they came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, very much, JD, like you're doing with me here today. So finding out about their lives and experiences. I've interviewed some amazing people and had a privilege to talk to them to find out about their lives and experience. I've got an average of, more or less 230 of those programs available. They are broadcast around the world on stations like yours, on FM, on AM, on shortwave, on what we have in the United Kingdom, DAB. I'm not sure where you have that in the States, digital radio. And so it's really a privilege to do that. The other segments are based upon a weekly devotional that I write called God Tracker. I've been writing that since 2013, and I write that weekly and send it out to a mailing list. People read that. I hope it's an encouragement to them. And so I adapt God Tracker, the devotional, for radio. I produce a 1-minute segment out of that. I also do a full read of God Tracker, which is a 4 to 6 minute thought. And all of these are available on that website as a podcast. And so, you know, your listeners can have a listen to that. And so essentially that's what I do, and that's what the reality or Sure Reality is all about. The ministry that I founded is called Sure Reality. The website is surereality.net.
And of course I do invite everybody to take a look at that. He's on Revelation Radio, and we definitely want you to tune in there for sure. Terry, you have a show on Revelation Radio as well, and that is every Sunday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. So I want you to take a minute here and just tell us about what's going to be on, or what you have planned anyway, assuming that we're still going to be here Sunday evening.
Well said. Amen.
I want you to take a minute and tell everybody what you do have planned anyway. for this Sunday night.
Amen. We're actually taking a walk through the book of Proverbs. And the reason that I was inspired, that the Lord moved me to go into this study, was recognizing he's going to come at any moment, and I've described it, any atomic moment. That's how fast it's going to be. And so then how do we then act as Christians? And the book of Proverbs is the perfect place to consider God's power, his leading, his teaching, his instruction, for wisdom, so that we can continue as Jesus encouraged us to occupy until he comes.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I do, again, encourage everybody. Again, that's 7:30 p.m. Central Time. That'll be this Sunday evening on Revelation Radio. You'll also find it here on our YouTube channel. All the major podcasting platforms also pick up all of the Revelation Radio programming, and so you can go to your favorite podcast platform as well. Terry always provides great insight. I listen to the show every week, and always get something out of it, Terry, and I'm sure that
well,
everyone...
Thank you.
Everyone that listens to it does. Now, I do want to get back into the show for tonight in relation to something that I brought up during the intro to the show. And that is, there is a strong possibility that the Jews of Israel are preparing right now for the first sacrifices to be taken place. Now, the first sacrifice is going to be with the red heifers. Remember, these red heifers were brought from Texas, where we are, and sent all the way over to Israel. And these red heifers have to be completely free of any defect whatsoever. There can't be, it can't be a white hair. It can't be a black hair. They have to be basically perfect. And the Jews, the rabbis from Israel, actually traveled to Texas. They looked them over. They approved them. They said, yeah, these fit. And these red heifers have not been present in Israel for 2,000 years. I want to make that really clear. They have not had access to one of these red heifers for 2,000 years. Now they got five of them. Okay, and they only need one, so that means that four can be disqualified, and they still have that fifth one, and they are preparing for a sacrifice, which then they take the ashes of the red heifer that was sacrificed, and they use it to purify the water for the rabbi in order to bless a temple, the construction of the third temple. So now I got this from CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, and it explains it a little bit more, and then we're going to talk about it. Okay, so here is the presentation. Again, this is from courtesy of CBN.
So an update on these red heifers. As we know, they're in Israel, they're there, they've been checked out by rabbis, they meet the qualifications to be used in the sacrifice, and they can be used in a sacrifice 1 year from today. Here's an article from All Israel News. Red heifer sacrifice could take place in 1 year in Jerusalem. A plot of land on the Mount of Olives has been purchased and is ready for a valid sacrifice, the first since the destruction of the Second Temple. It says later in the article, they must stay unblemished and red in order to be sacrificed when they are older than 2 years. Currently, the calves are under just 1 year of age, so this could take place within a year. And as mentioned in that article, they've already bought a plot of land opposite of the Temple Mount, Al-Aqsa Mosque, where many people think the Third Temple will be built, directly across from that on the Mount of Olives, in line with it perfectly. They have that plot of land, and that is most likely where the sacrifice will take place. And when the sacrifice takes place after that, then the third temple can be rebuilt, because the ashes of the red heifer can purify the priests as well as the building of the third temple, which cannot be built until the purification process has taken place, as mentioned in Numbers 19. And they actually already even have the altar. Here's an article from 2018, Israel 365 News. Dedication of Altar for Third Temple. On Monday, the Sanhedrin hosted the dedication of the altar for the Third Temple, marking the event with a full dress reenactment of the eternal offering. Here's some pictures from that. So that took place. I mean, this is completely moving in that direction. The Jewish people are absolutely moving all of this towards that taking place. And this is a huge prophetic event because it's one of the key prophetic events that happens that the Lord says, when this happens, we know the end is near.
We know the end is near. And now, we have no idea, Terry, at least I don't, maybe you do. I have no idea whether or not this temple is built before or after the rapture of the church. But because of the fact that everything has already been done that needs to be done prior to the rapture, I'm just going to take a wild guess that the rapture may happen before the construction of the temple. And I'm basing that on all of the world events that are going on right now. Russia moving, what's going on in the Ukraine, what's going on in North Korea, worldwide lawlessness, wars, rumors of wars. You know, people take exception every now and then about the rumors of war thing. They say, okay, there's always been rumors of war. Has there always been rumors of nuclear war? Has there ever been a point in time when you really felt like nuclear war could break out at any time? When they start using tactical nukes, I mean, I had somebody comment on YouTube, Terry, and they actually said, well, you know, I hope it happens sooner rather than later because the world is tired of us. No, the world is not tired of us. Okay? The world is not tired of us. This is all part of God's plan, right?
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, amen. Go ahead. I know you've got some comments on that. Go ahead.
You can see me teething at the bit.
Yep.
You know, here is the thing. Let me turn the thing upside down and sideways and go in the opposite direction. The reality is, and I've said this many times, but it bears repeating in order for people to really get a lock on the teaching of the prophecy of the rapture. Nowhere in the Bible, you will not find anywhere in the Bible where it talks about anticipating the temple being built, the red heifers. It says these things are going to happen. The tribulation, the Antichrist, all of these things are real, true, and they're going to happen. Period. Right. Boom. That's it. However, the only prophecy, that's why Joel closes each program and sprinkles throughout every program mentions of if we're here. Now, to people who are unschooled and do not know the Word of God, they think, well, this guy, you know, he's got a screw loose somewhere. His screws are all tightened down, folks. It's your screw that is either loose or it's non-existent. You don't even have one, because the reality is the Bible teaches strongly that we are to be anticipating. Hell, I'm sorry, was there a phone ring? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Anticipate the rapture,
right?
Because that's how fast it's going to come. And that's why it gives us hope, and that's why we're not shaking in our boots over all of these things, which incidentally, by the way, are true. They're going to happen.
Right.
Thank you, Joel.
No, preach on, brother. I mean, that's great. You know, one thing.
All right, I'll take a few minutes. I'll take another couple minutes.
Go ahead.
Listen, this thing, this idea that Joel came up with, and it was inspired by God about the last Christian. There are a lot of Christians out there in the world kicking themselves because they didn't think of it first. But it is true. There's going to be a last Christian. And when that last lost person who thinks they're not worthy finally gets the message and knows Jesus died for sinners, he said, I didn't come for the righteous. So if you're righteous, you'd better check your mail, buddy. You may be in or out. But if you are not righteous, if you are a sinner and you know it, and everybody in the world, the more people that know it, the better it is, because it, you know, yeah, man, everybody knows I'm a sinner. That was the person Jesus came and died for and came out of the grave 3 days later and is promising to come back to get him. Peter denied him on the night he was crucified. Right. And Jesus said, Peter, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm coming back. I'm going to come and get you. Hannity always talks about, don't let your heart be troubled. Here's Laura Ingraham. No, that's not. I don't know what he's doing. But the reality is, let not your heart be troubled, because Jesus is coming. Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, a couple of things. Number one, wouldn't it be really cool if all of a sudden people watching this show, all of a sudden both of us just vanish and all they would see is two empty screens? I think that would really be cool. Yeah. Okay. Number two,
Silence.
Yeah,
silence.
Yeah. And number two, I am jealous of that last individual, because there is going to be, you know, and I say this a lot, but it's to make that point. That just like there's a last play in every football game, you know, it's over, right? Okay, there's a winner and that's a loser. Right. It happens right there in a millisecond, okay, when you drop the pass or catch it, right? Game's over.
Amen.
All right, well, amen. Just like that, there is going to be that last person to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior before the rapture of the church.
Amen.
It has to happen.
Amen.
Think about it. It has to be. If there is a rapture, and we think there
is.
Right. In fact, we know there is.
Yes.
When that happens, it's game over. Anybody that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior before that rapture occurs has to go through at least part of the Great Tribulation. Now, I say they have to go through part of it for this reason. Maybe they're driving on the freeway. Okay, they haven't accepted Jesus Christ yet, and they're going 70 miles an hour down the freeway. The rapture happens. The people on the other side of the freeway, their car is now empty. They've been raptured. So their car goes out of control. It jumps a median. It runs into this poor individual. Well, okay, they went through a part of the tribulation. They really did. In that, just that, in just that couple of seconds there. But now they're dead, and they're condemned, because they didn't accept Jesus Christ. You don't want to find yourself in that position. So
just like
there's a last play, there is going to be that last individual that is going to pray the prayer of salvation. And I hope somebody is going to pray this with me right now. Okay?
Amen.
Father, please, I know I am a sinner. I am asking you for your forgiveness with the blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross.
Yes.
That he was buried for 3 days, that he rose again just as he prophesied he would do, that he made promise to the world that he was going to come back and gather his church before the Great Tribulation period. Then he ascended to heaven. I know he sits at the Father's right hand, and I know he's coming back. Father, please forgive me, and I promise you I will walk with you to the very best of my ability for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, amen, amen.
I'm not the last Christian.
Can I jump?
I'm not the last Christian. I'm not it. Terry's not it. But somebody out there is, and when they say that prayer, Terry, and when they say in Jesus' name, they're going to be looking Jesus right in the face. I'm jealous of that individual.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Now you wanted to jump in and go right ahead.
You've got me. Amen. You've got me fired up now. Here's the reality, folks. I love that prayer. I love listening to every prayer every Christian prays. I love listening to the prayer of every person who accepts Jesus. It's just a holy moment. You're on holy ground. But let me encourage anyone who has a bad memory like me. And that is, Jesus talks about a rich man, a Pharisee going into the synagogue, going into the temple, and he's praying. He's up there in the front because he's got the best clothes. He's got the most money. He's got the greatest power. And he says he sees a guy come in the back who's not worthy of anything. He's just a beaten down old sinner. And that man says, Father, I just thank you that I am not like that man back there. I'm giving you money. I'm teaching people about you. I'm really burning up the track for you. And I thank you. I'm not like that man. The guy in the back was feeling so bad, so sinful, that it says he could not lift his eyes to heaven. He could not lift them. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Wait a minute. What else did he say? He didn't say anything. Jesus said that man went away to his house justified before God.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, I don't know the 23rd Psalm, and I don't know the Lord's Prayer. All you've got to know, the only rule, you've got to know Jesus personally.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
You're getting to know me personally, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize. But you know Jesus personally. You do that, and you're going to heaven. Call on him. Just Amen. Pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. And if you want to say all that other stuff which Joel said, and it's beautiful, and it's right, and it's good, listen, you can pray to God longer than I talk. I know that sounds impossible, right. But it's true. You can just pray and pray and pray. And the more you pray, the more you're going to love it.
Because the Lord knows the heart. So it's not the Amen. Words. It's not the words Amen. That do it.
Amen.
It's what's in your Amen. Heart. He hears you. That's the reason that a deaf person or someone that can't speak,
that's
they
right.
can accept Jesus Christ. It's all about
Amen.
The heart. Okay. Now,
Amen.
I say
Amen.
This a lot, and I mean it. People mm-hmm. have to understand that the biggest thing that Satan does to prevent people from accepting Christ is to remind them of what they did in the past. Okay.
Amen.
And he tries to convince you that because you have done this or that or this other thing, that you are disqualified, and there is no such thing. So anytime. And I got this from a minister, okay? I got this from Reverend Jim Burt, okay? Mm-hmm. And it really does apply. Anytime that Satan wants to remind you about what you did in your past, and believe me, he's going to do that a lot, every time he does that, you do this. Remind him of his future. Remind him That's that Jesus right. Christ already won, and it is just
Amen.
A matter of time before Satan is for eternity with all of his angels that he corrupted, mm-hmm. with all of yeah. the people that refuse to accept Jesus Christ. It is only a matter of God's time before his future is an eternity in hell, and you don't have to be a part of that. You can be a part of eternity in heaven by simply accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is really that
Amen.
Easy. There
Thank
is
you, Jesus.
No amount of work.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's
Amen.
No amount of work that somebody can do to get into heaven.
Amen. Amen.
This is free. This is free.
Amen.
Okay, now, I'm not going to run out of time on you tonight, Terry. Instead, I'm going to give you a good 2 minutes to tell us all about Blast Off Repeamore in its fifth edition. And I want you to call attention to the fact that take that book and then use it. Use it as a tool to lead you where you need to go in the Bible. Okay? I want to make sure that people understand that this is all about picking up the Bible, but that you break it down to where people know where to look. Okay? So anyway, couple of minutes, Terry. Go for it. Tell us all about Blast Off for PMR in its now fifth edition.
Yeah. Amen. Folks, this is an opportunity for you. I'm making this thing available because the Bible says the man that does not sow corn, people curse him, but the man who sells that corn, people bless him. So this is for you, but it's not just for you. It's first of all for you. I read mine every day, all the time. In fact, I'm even working on a volume, an edition 6, which if the Lord tarries, I'll get going on it. But again, I just as soon have him shout. But in the meantime, That's what it can do. 25 Bible versions, 14 appendices that's added information that helps you to understand, including 1,350 plus verses and a scripture index that is set in the back for you to be able to go back and forth, confirm passages, which Bible it came from. And I have all of that information on each page, but I also have it in the back organized so you can go either place. And, you know, I just feel honored and privileged that God has given me this ministry. I thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Terry. And I do encourage people to go out there and get the book. Terry, also, I'm going to give you an opportunity now. You know, we get a lot of messages on YouTube, a few through Facebook. Some are direct mail to office@ustreamit.net. And again, if you guys want to be on the show, that's what you got to do. Just write office@ustreamit.net. You don't have to be a certified preacher or something like that. You know, you don't have to be a deacon. All you've got to do is have a message that you would like to give. And believe me, we'll let you on the show. We encourage all Christians to participate. But before we go, and we are about out of time, Terry, so you're going to have to make this quick. But I do want to, Terry has that show, and I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. So, Terry, I'm going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to give people your direct email address and know that they can contact you. You got about 30 seconds.
Sure. It's all one word, and it's all together. There are no breaks. Any moment at att.net. And you're welcome to questions. I tell people I take answers, and they say, answers? They say, you wrote the book. And I say, yeah, but Paul said in this life, we only know in part. So you might have a question for me. You might have an answer. Thank you.
Amen. And again, that's anymoment@att.net. And yeah, that's on purpose. He did that on purpose. Any moment. Yeah, he did it on purpose because that's exactly that's exactly what it is. It's, you know,
he's getting to know me, folks.
Yeah, it could literally happen at any moment. So, you know, anyway, if we're still here on Thursday, we'll be back with another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. Until then, we hope that you will tune in with us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And we'll definitely be here, even though I almost did something crazy there. There we go. Good night, everybody. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from 7:30 to 8 p.m. Central Time right here on Revelation Radio. And don't forget to join us every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Central for The Last Christian Podcast, now available on all major podcast platforms and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.